Well, good morning. My name is David, and I'm really glad to be speaking to you this morning. I'm really glad that you are in Grace Church today and part of us, and I want to just say you are most welcome. In fact, for the next half hour or so, that's really what I want to do, is to welcome you. I also want to tell you a story. Few stories have had a bigger impact on the history of the world than this one. The whole story that I'm going to tell you this morning took place in just 1 year, around the year 30 AD. And from that year, a world movement was born, which went on over the next few decades to cover the whole known world, and in the years that followed, to have an indelible impact on civilization, on culture, on education, on medicine, on justice, and on the lives of countless millions of people in every corner of the globe. Of course, I'm talking about the church. I want to tell you the story of how the church began. And this is a story that God wants you to know. And you can be sure of that because he put it in the Bible. As well as telling that story, I want to do something else this morning. And that is to describe this church, Grace Church, to you as well. Which is why the title for this talk is Welcome to Grace Church. You might have been a part of us for many years, but for many of you, this may be much more new, and that's great. So about once a year, I like to take an opportunity to talk about ourselves, to lay out some of our values, and hopefully give you an idea about what is important to us. So we can all say, yeah, this is a church where I want to commit my time, where I want to get stuck in. I want to commit my money and my energy to what's going on here. If that's you, then you are most welcome. I look for ways that we can make Grace Church like the church we read about in the book of Acts. The church around the world has for so long now, it's been around for so long that it's easy to forget what it was like when it was new. Even in this nation, the church can be like a great ocean liner or a battleship that's had its hull become encrusted with barnacles. And we should go back regularly to the story of the church in Acts and let God speak to us. It's like getting out a big scrapey thing and scraping away the barnacles until the hull becomes like new, until we're left with the church as God intended her to be. So this story starts with Jesus. Jesus lived in Palestine, the region around Jerusalem at the start of the first century, and he claimed to be Messiah, the Son of God, who would take away the sins of the world. That was a pretty bold claim to make. But he said, well, you'll know this is true because people are going to kill me. They're going to hang me on a Roman cross, and then 3 days later, after I die, I will rise again from the dead. Now, I don't know if Jesus' followers really grasped what Jesus meant beforehand, but they got to witness it firsthand. They saw Jesus die. They buried him. And then 3 days later, he appeared to them alive. And then again, and then again. And on one of those occasions, Jesus was eating with them and chatting with them. This was no mirage. He was there sharing life with them. And again, he told them what was going to happen next. He told them to wait in Jerusalem. He said, keep doing what you're doing. Keep gathering, keep praying. And he said, my Father is going to give you such an amazing gift. He's going to give you his Holy Spirit poured out on all of you, just like the prophets prophesied centuries ago was going to happen. Well, again, it happened just like Jesus said it would. The disciples were together, and all of a sudden there was something going on in that place. There was a wind, there was fire, and the Holy Spirit came on everybody who was there, and they were filled with the presence of God. even those who were not followers of Jesus could see that something incredible was going on, but they couldn't explain it. And so Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples, he got to his feet and he began to explain to the crowd that had gathered that all of this was because of Jesus. Because he died. Because he rose again. And that his death was on their hands unless they turned to Jesus and received forgiveness. And then he carried on explaining the Christian gospel to them and how they could receive the Holy Spirit too. And around 3,000 people were added to their number. The church had begun. From out of nowhere, suddenly there was a body, an entity, a unit, a church. It had been just a group in a room. Now it was 3,000 added into something. Now, for the first time in world history, here was a group of people who had both turned to God in repentance and been filled with the Spirit. A people made right with God, sins forgiven through faith in Jesus, and empowered to live for him because the Holy Spirit was in them. That's the church. And it should still be the church today. So let's carry the story on. Let's see, well, what did they do then? What did they prioritize? How did they live? What did the church look like? And then I'll try to describe how we try to do the same things here in Grace Church. You see, firstly, they were immediately a community. I won't have time to read verse by verse through this story in the Bible, in the book of Acts. But this next bit is worth reading because it's more descriptive than it is narrative. It tells us what they were like. 3,000 saved, added together. What did they look like? Well, Acts 2, 42 to 47 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If you had been watching the church in week one, what would you have seen? I think you could summarize it by saying that they were now in community. They went from being a collection of individuals to being in relationship with one another. First thing it says is they devoted themselves to a whole bunch of things that drew them together. There was a glue that bound them to one another. I'm a member of the co-op club. And I proudly carry around my membership card. Here it is. And not that proudly. I carry this because it earns money when I shop in co-op. But although I'm in this club, I couldn't tell you a single other person who is also in the club. Except maybe Izzy, because she works there. We're in the same club, but we're not all together. Is that what it means to be a Christian, that we're just in the same club? No, it's nothing like that. Instantly, they were devoted to things that brought them together. There was a glue. There was a gravitational attraction. They were community together. That community was characterized by them meeting together, by them being in the same place. It was characterized by them being generous with one another. No one was living for themselves anymore. Now it was about how they could benefit one another. And it was characterized by joy. We can get so far from this, can't we, in our experience of church, which is why we need to get back here often. They were united around Jesus and they were enjoying this. It was fun. What we have here is a perfect illustration of grace. So transformation had occurred. They'd been baptized and filled with the Spirit. And now there was no rule book. There was no religion. Nobody felt that they were obliged to fake some kind of religious experience when actually what they'd rather be doing is I don't know, going down the shops with their friends or hanging out in the pub. But oh, I suppose we ought to do church. No, they weren't faking it. They wanted to be in community. They wanted to put others before themselves. And they were having a great time doing it. That's what grace looks like. That's what grace does. So in this church, we are called Grace Church. That name reflects for us what is a hugely important value. It's a bit like the Mr. Men, who are named after their primary characteristic. You know that? Like Mr. Noisy. Noisy by name and noisy by nature. Well, that's sort of what it's like for us. We are grace by name and grace by nature. Grace starts with an awareness that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Not by how we do church or by how we live our lives in any way. Our salvation is a free gift of God, which we can't earn. We can't qualify ourselves for it in any way. Over the centuries, churches have devised many traditions and forms and models for how to structure and organize church. And in many cases, these are not bad things in and of themselves. But when these traditions and forms and models become false or sacred or are seen as essential for God's approval, then that is no longer grace. Living for Jesus is the most normal thing that you can do. And so I want being in Grace Church to be the most normal thing. We're not trying to be something we're not. We're not trying to put on some kind of mask or ill-fitting clothes or a straitjacket. These new believers had no rule book. No reason to fake anything or impose anything. They were just living life. Yeah, but it was life transformed by the Holy Spirit. And that's where the difference is. Nobody had to tell them, but just from the inside, the work of the Spirit inside them, they found themselves to be a joy-filled community, centered on Jesus, committed to one another, and they loved it. And that's grace. That's what we're trying to build here in this church. Now, of course, we have ways of doing things, but nothing is held too tightly. We're not hung up on form and tradition. It's just normal life, but Spirit-filled life. And that makes a difference. So the story carried on from there. In the next scene of the play, we see that two of Jesus's followers and members of this new church were going about their business one day. They were just walking along the road. They were called Peter and John. And this is what happened. They saw a man who had no use of his legs. He was at the very bottom rung of society. And he was simply sat by the roadside and he was begging for money. Peter and John, they could have just hurried past. They were late for the afternoon prayer meeting. And maybe they would have done that once. But the effect of the Holy Spirit in them is that it caused them to see people like Jesus sees people. And they were moved with compassion. And they knew instantly that Jesus loved that man as an individual. And because they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead and was alive and had given them authority to use his power to heal, they joined all those dots. They linked Jesus's love and his power to that man, and he was healed instantly. Now that created a bit of a stir in the crowd again. People wanted to know what had just happened. I think if you were there, you probably would have wanted to know. Look at this man. What the heck? What's going on? Peter and John could have said, oh, it's nothing. They could have downplayed it, but they weren't wired that way anymore. So they told anyone who wanted to listen what Jesus had just done, the difference that he had made. And they finished up by making it personal for the people listening. They said, and this is for you too. You're included in this. You need to respond to Jesus for yourself. Right out of the box, the church was on a mission. They had a mandate from Jesus to carry on his work, and that's exactly what they did. Not because they were short of things to fill their time with now, no, because they were full of the Holy Spirit. And he overwhelmed them with love for Jesus. And the love of Jesus then compelled them to bring a lost and searching world to the knowledge of Christ. The church is not being the church if it's not on a mission to proclaim Jesus to the world. And so here in Grace Church, we love being community. We love being family together and looking out for each other and hanging out. But we are a people on a mission. The church is never meant to be a closed shop. We're not done. We're not a holy huddle or a clique. We're always reaching out to others. Coming into this academic year, I just feel a fresh excitement, fresh energy, fresh faith that God is going to use us to tell people about Jesus in a new and effective way. There is a harvest field out there to reach, and I just feel God is stirring us. Stirring something inside us, a new urgency, a new love for the lost. This is a good time to come and be part of Grace Church, because next week we are starting a new preaching series. Each Sunday morning between now and Christmas, we're going to be in the New Testament book of Romans. Romans was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and it contains the most majestic and illuminating description of the Christian gospel. If you want to know what Jesus has done for you, if you want to know how it works and fits together, if you want to know how it can transform your life, then don't miss any of these weeks that are coming up. If we are being normal, full of the Spirit, living in grace, then there is no part of church life which should not be open to unbelievers and be helping those unbelievers take at least a step closer to Christ. Our Sunday morning meetings are places where non-Christians are completely welcome to be and enjoy being. The same is true for our children's groups and our youth work and our student activities. In Grace Church, we encourage everyone to come on a Sunday and also to connect in groups. We always have life groups running, and we run short-term groups on particular special subjects as well. And those are great places for you to connect with others. But it's also part of our mission. We're reaching out. We're saying, come and let me show you what Jesus is doing. And then, of course, we work together in this church to proclaim Jesus together to even greater effect. Don't miss our Alpha course, which is starting very soon now. You can book onto that. Get people booked into that right now. Anyway, the next thing that happened to Peter and John in our story was perhaps strange. You see, they had operated out of love and compassion. They had told people nothing but good news. But there were religious leaders, there were people in authority who were threatened by what they were saying about Jesus. And so they reacted badly against the message, and they had the authority to make life really quite difficult for the church, and they started putting people into prison. At that point, the church could have said, well, clearly our message doesn't quite fit into society here. It's not the message of our culture. It's going against the grain. Perhaps we ought to just keep quiet. Perhaps we ought to not ruffle any feathers. But that's not what happened. Instantly, the church had backbone. It had a bigger mandate, a higher calling to be a herald of truth into a lost world. Our message today might not always be popular. This community and even our local government may not always welcome Grace Church or be delighted about our message. And while we're respectful and we are submissive of authorities over us, we have a higher mandate to demonstrate the love of God and to declare that Jesus is the only way. I want Grace Church to have the same grace, but also the same backbone as the church in our story. Well, the next thing that happened is perhaps even more strange. There were two people in the church, a husband and wife. I guess they'd lived in Jerusalem for a while, perhaps all their lives. And I imagine they were there on that day when Peter addressed the crowd, and they felt their hearts move, and they called out to Jesus, and they were baptized. And their names were Ananias and Sapphira. And they owned a bit of land, and they thought, well, we're not using that land, and it's pointless having that money tied up there. Why don't we sell it? And then there's some money that we can give. We can give it to the apostles, and they can use it for the poor. And so they sold the land. But once they had that money in their hand, they thought, or we could pretend that we didn't get a very good price for the land, and so we could give a smaller sum away, and then we would have a nice little dollop of money that we could spend on ourselves. So that's what they did. They brought the money to the apostles. They gave it, and the Holy Spirit revealed what they had done, what was in their heart, and they were found out. And God judged them. And they dropped down dead on the spot. So what are we supposed to make of that? It's all very well, the church being about community, and we get that it's about mission, but are we going to die? Is God going to judge us? Right at the start of the church, there was an important lesson to learn. God is holy. And we need to take his word seriously. Now, as far as I can tell, it is a rare thing that God strikes someone down for their sin, but I believe it does happen. Who would be the first person to stand up before God and say, well, that wasn't fair? In fact, it's no less than we all deserve. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life. None of us gloss over the holiness of God or turn him into some kind of cartoon character. We rightly tremble a little bit at the awesome righteousness of God. He invites us into his presence just as we are. But I still want to do my very best to live for him. One of the things that's really important in this church is the preaching of the Bible. We need to know what God's word is to us and then resolve to live accordingly. Surely that should be the priority for any child of God. So we give the preaching of the word time on a Sunday. The people who are preaching, they give it lots of time in preparation. This is no half-hearted thing. And then as we listen, we expect to learn about God, but we also expect to encounter him through the preaching of the word. The word of God is like a surgeon's knife. It does surgery on your life as God speaks to you directly and prompts you to change. And so in Grace Church, we preach the Bible here. We take that seriously. And then we can help each other to work that out in our lives. And this is why some of the preaching in Grace Church comes to you via video, like it is this morning. You see, that enables us to be a church with four sites in Chichester and Bognor and in Midhurst and Havant. So it enables our mission into those communities. But at the same time, it enables us to lead the whole church through the consistent preaching of the Bible. Now, I don't think that the church in Acts used video. Pretty sure they didn't. But curiously, using video enables us to be more like the church in Acts than we would otherwise. Ananias and Sapphira lived in the same age of the Spirit as we do, the same age of the church as we do. There is a warning in this story that we all need to hear. We want to honour our Father God. We want to take his words seriously. People were intrigued by what happened to Ananias and Sapphira and a little bit scared. But still the church continued to grow. They continued to preach the gospel. Many people were saved and baptized. Many others reacted angrily and caused trouble for the church. But then in the next scene that we come to in this story, we find that right from the beginning, the church had been doing something else. You see, in that Jerusalem society, your economic security came either from your business or from your family. If you had neither a business nor a family, then you were in big trouble. You basically had no source of income. There were people in that community, indeed within the church, who were poor. God's heart is always inclined towards the needs of the poor. He's a God of justice and a God of compassion, and that there might be some people who have and some people who have not, well, that does not fit with his sense of justice. He cares about the poor. And right from the beginning, the church cared about the poor. So by this point in our story, there was already a program set up for distributing food to widows. In other words, people who had neither work nor family. Their needs were met. They were fed. The heart of Grace Church must be similarly inclined towards the needs of the poor. And I believe it is. There are many spontaneous ways in which people care for each other and give of their time and energy and extend that care beyond Grace Church. I see it all the time. To get a comprehensive list of all the things that we are engaged in, I recommend you go to our website. Have a look at the page that's titled Grace Works. And most of the things are listed there. One of our Grace Works is options, the Pregnancy Options Center. And I managed to get hold of Anna Madge, who now heads up options, and ask her about that work. And she's going to tell us a bit about it now. Okay, so I'm here at Pregnancy Option Centre's 21st birthday party, and this is Anna, and Anna is part of our Chichester site. And so, Anna, why, just tell us first of all what Options is.
So Options is a service in Chichester that provides free counselling to men and women, the families and partners, if they're going through an unplanned pregnancy and need someone to have to talk to, or if they've experienced pregnancy loss. We also do counselling sessions for them. We also have an education team as well, which goes into local schools and talks to kids about healthy relationships and relationship boundaries.
Fantastic. So tell us, how did you get involved in Options and what's your role now?
So about 3 years ago, I started just volunteering in the office, stuffing envelopes for local GPs. And then in the last year from September, I then trained on the counselling team to do the counselling stuff. And now I've become the project manager. So I'm starting now. Yeah.
Fantastic. And so what are you excited about over the coming sort of months and years? What are you looking forward to?
So really looking forward to growing our education work. So we've managed to extend our education team leads hours, which means we can go into more schools, doing more year groups, as well as other youth settings around. We're just really excited to see Options grow and develop and reach more people who are in need of our services.
That's brilliant. Yeah. So Options is an independent charity, yeah, but it is a charity that Grace Church is 100% behind.
Yeah.
Loads of our people involved in it, and it's definitely one of our Grace Works. So well done, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
It's brilliant.
Fantastic. So Options is just one of our grace works. Do pray for it, support it, and you can even get involved. I know they're running some training sessions through November for their education team, for the education stuff they do. So do find out about that. There are other grace works in Grace Church. I haven't got time to describe them all fully. We go into Ford Prison. We work with people being released from there too. We work with Food Bank in Chichester and Midhurst and Bognor. We work with Aaron Angels and City Angels. We have a team befriending Syrian refugees. We have special groups for, and we work to include adults with additional needs. We have our Little Bears toddler groups in Bognor and in Chichester. And I've probably missed out masses. Coming up soon on the 4th of November, Sunday the 4th of November, we're going to have a special Sunday focusing on some of our grace works. This is important to us. So what we're going to do is we're going to divide it up across our Grace Church sites. We've got people coming to visit us. We've got people coming from Compassion. We sponsor hundreds of children who are growing up in poverty in the Philippines and in other countries. On that Sunday, we're going to have a young person with us who was previously sponsored, and they can tell us firsthand what a difference that has made to their life. Also on that day, we've got visitors coming to us from CAP, from Christians Against Poverty. And they're going to help to catch us up all together in the CAP Life Skills course, which is something that we have just begun to implement, particularly in our Bognor site, with our first course just ready to run there. So we're going to find out about that as well. That's on the 4th of November. It's a bit of a plug. 3,000 people were saved at the start of Acts. Filled with the Spirit, they immediately began to serve the poor. As God's church, let's never get so barnacled up that we ever forget to do the same. So we've got as far as Acts chapter 6, really. At this point, the level of hostility against the church really began to increase. People were being killed for even mentioning the name of Jesus. Many more were thrown into prison. In the end, the persecution became so bad that many just had to flee Jerusalem. They just fled in fear for their lives. They became refugees. A whole people group, internally and internationally displaced due to religious hatred. Still happens today, doesn't it? But what happened is that wherever Christians ended up living, they began to share the good news of Jesus there. New churches became established. People believing in Jesus and filled with the Spirit. And they began to be church, just like the first church in Jerusalem had. And now, for the first time, instead of there being just one local church in one city, now there was a whole bunch of local churches all over the world. They operated as local churches with local leadership in place. But what I want us to notice is that they also stayed connected to each other and in good relationship with each other, and gifted individuals would occasionally move from place to place to serve more widely. Grace Church is an independent local church. We are independent. We have an eldership team in place, but we are not isolated. We're not on our own. When I'm describing what is important to us, I include that we are part of a wider family of churches. That's part of who we are. Our family of churches is called Commission. Commission is a family or network of churches on a shared mission under the apostolic leadership of a godly man and a good friend of mine called Guy Miller. All of the Commission churches got together at West Point over the August bank holiday weekend. And we do that every year. I encourage you to book in and come along next year. I look in this story and I see churches that did not want to get isolated. I don't want Grace Church to get isolated. We won't. We are made stronger by connecting in, by submitting to a vision that is larger than just us. Now, we could keep going and going with our story, couldn't we? Actually, the story of the church kept going beyond the time of the Bible. It keeps going down through the centuries until eventually it gets to us. It gets to our part of the story that we are writing. Now, we've got as far as Acts chapter 9. I'll finish with a verse from that chapter, looking into scripture, seeing what it says. Acts 9 verse 31 says this: "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers." The church that was brand new, centered on Jesus, filled with the Spirit, could not help but give its energy to community and mission and holiness and serving the poor and to staying connected. It could not help but increase in numbers. Healthy churches grow. My question to you as I finish is this: will you come on board? Will you join us on this journey? Hopefully I've been able to give you a bit of insight into what makes us tick here in Grace Church. Look into the pages of Scripture. Compare it to what you see in this church. Just hear God speaking to you. If he is saying to you, actually, this is what church should be like, at least they're trying to do the right thing, then why don't you come and be a part of Grace Church? Come with us. You would be most welcome.